All right, Rabbi Saif, good morning. Today's daf is Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph. I want to thank Yehuda for giving yesterday's shir. So those of you, if you didn't yet do yesterday's daf, it's Kedai, it's a mamish, a beautiful, beautiful daf. Beautiful agarta, beautiful, beautiful teachings. So we continue with that today. I'm sorry? Is what? It's not, I hope not. I hope not. If it's on the podcast, please let me know. All right, so we're picking up Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph, three lines down from the top. So Amar Rava. So I'll say, so first of all, the breakfast this morning in the shir is dedicated by Sayyid and Simahakin. Today is the Hakamas Matseva for Sayyid's father, Moshe and Mashiach Cohen. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his neshama will have an aliyah and his family a nechama. Shkoyach. Amar Rava. So I'll say, Rava said the following. So remember again, the Mishnah dealt with the Mishnah essentially is operating on the following principle, that if I am a shomer for an object, let's say Reuven entrusted his object with me, and I'm watching it on his behalf, and the object is, let's say, it's stolen, but I choose not to take a shavuah, so the halacha is that I can go ahead and pay, and then in the event that the thief is found, I, the shomer, am entitled to the kefel, or in the event that the item was slaughtered and sold, I will be entitled ultimately to the arba v'chamisha, the 4 and 5 time penalty payment. So the Gemara was bothered by, just mechanistically, how does this work? If at the end of the day, ein adam matne davar shel bali olam, that you can't go ahead and convey ownership for something that is not yet in existence. So how could it be that the owner confers or conveys ownership over kefalo arba v'chamisha if those items do not yet exist? So the Gemara gave a couple of answers. Now Rava is going to give his answer. Amar Rava, naase ke'omer lo, l'chishetignov v'tirtze v'tashlimeni, hare parasi kinuyo l'chame achsha. So we'll say Rava has an amazing insight. Rava says it's as if whenever you deposit an animal with someone, so what the owner of the animal says to the shomer is like this. In the event that this animal is stolen from you, and you decide not to swear, but instead you decide to pay me, I hereby convey ownership of the cow to you me'achshav, from this moment. In other words, it's a retroactive conveyance. Nebo says it's a very important Rashi here. Rashi says, Na'ase ke'omer lo, it's three lines out from the top in Rashi, B'shah she'masra lo, so according to Rava, pretty much every single time you deposit an animal for shmira, for safekeeping with someone, for guarding with someone, so the owner almost makes this tenai with the shomer, that in the event that the animal was stolen and you decide not to take a shavua, instead you decide to pay. Now understand over here, when the shomer decides not to take a shavua and decides to pay, what he's doing is he's giving the owner an additional benefit. Because what the owner is doing is automatically getting back his principal and not having to worry about going ahead and tracking down the ganav. In appreciation for that benefit, what the owner effectively does is transfers over to the shomer the rights to the kefel, or the potential rights to the kefel, or the rights to the arba v'chamisha. So says Rashi, Nasek omelo b'shash masralo, at the time that the owner gives the animal over to the shomer, tikim luhu l'rabanan, denecha luhu l'baylim, sheyehe batuach bakeren. So both saying, according to Rav, the logic is like this. The owner of the animal would rather know that his principal is secure. If he can know that his principal amount is secure, then he is willing to go ahead and settle for that. Even amenas shei safek kefel ha'asid lavo shel shomer v'hari kimasra lo amenas kein. Well, this is an incredible user. If you think about this, you know, if you deposit your animal with a shomer and the animal is stolen, so the truth is you do have the potential for some significant profit. In the event that the thief is found, you will be getting, right, you'll be making 100% profit. You get kefil. And in the event that the animal was stolen, sold and butchered, mamish, it's a windfall. You get arba v'chamisha. Yet, what Rav is saying is, we know that the owner of the animal would rather know that his principal is secure, and in exchange for the securing of the principal, he conveys any future additional profit to the shomer. Therefore, again, amenas kein shem tigno v'yishalim lo keren shetei parak nuyu lo shemisha shemasra lo nimtzas l'mafreya. Therefore, it turns out that retroactively, Or I should say, when the animal was stolen, it turns out retroactively, kishaganav haganav shal shomer haisa deparak var hayi ba'olam. Ultimately, again, therefore, when it turns out that the animal was stolen, it was actually the shomer's animal that was stolen. So, this is an incredible yisod. So, Rava essentially says that when the owner deposits the animal with me, it's as if the owner and I are making a tenai. And the tenai is, in the event that the animal is stolen, and I, the shomer, decide to pay, instead of taking a shvua and exempting myself, I, if I decide to secure the principal of the owner in exchange goes ahead and conveys to me the animal from this point in time. By conveying to me the animal retroactively, it turns out that what? That I become entitled to the kefil and the arba v'chamisha. Says Gemara, asking Rabbi Zera, one second, if that's the case, so if that's the case, then if I own the animal retroactively, then not only should I be entitled to the kefil and the arba v'chamisha, but guess what? I should also retroactively be entitled to what? To any shearings and offspring of the animal as well. Alama Tanya, why does it say, Chutz mi gizosev avladosel? Then why does it say that although I'm entitled to the kefil and the arba v'chamisha, I'm not entitled to the shearings and the offspring? Elo Amar Rabbi Zera, so we'll say, based on this kasha, Rabbi Zera comes along and advances another idea. Rabbi Zera says, Na'ase ke omer lo, Chutz mi gizosel vevladosel. So Rabbi Zera says that essentially, when the owner of the animal makes this tenai with me, the shomer, so the tenai essentially says the following. In the event that my animal is stolen and you decide to pay instead of swear, i.e. if you secure my principal, I hereby convey my animal ownership of my animal retroactively to you to this point in time. But the ownership of that animal is limited to your ability to collect kefel or arav v'chamisha, but does not include shearings and offspring. So it's as if, again, the chutz is included in the fine print of the tenai. Umay paska, so as I said, the Gemara says, how do you know to make this distinction? Meaning, how do you know that the owner of the animal is willing to convey the ownership over the kefil and arba v'chamisha, but not the shearings and the offspring? Stama de milsa shvacha de asa me'ama avad inish de makni. Shvacha de migufa lo avad inish de makni. Because we'll say, stama de milsa, the automatic assumption is, people are willing to convey things that essentially come from the outside. They're usually unwilling to convey things that come from the animal itself. In other words, to state that more simply, a person is usually more willing to give away something that they don't ever know they're actually going to own, such as kefel or arba v'chamisha, and less willing to give away something that they know is actively present, such as the shearings or the offspring. Ikedam is both another version of this exchange. Amar Rava, according to this version, Rava says, Nase ke omer lo, v'cheshetigno betirtze v'tashlimeini, samoch l'gnei vasa kinu yilecho. Oh, Rava says, in the second version of Rava, the tenai is the same. In the event that the animal is stolen, and you decide not to swear, but instead you decide to pay, so the animal is retroactively conveyed to you a moment before it was stolen. So we'll say, you hear the distinction in the Lashonos? In the first Lashon, ownership of the animal was retroactively conveyed to when? To when? To the moment the animal was given over to the shomer. Now, in second version, ownership of the animal is retroactively conveyed as of when? A minute before the animal was stolen. So the Gemara says, "My benayu." So what is the practical difference between these two lashonos? Ika benayu kushid Rabbi Zera. So we'll say first nafkamina is Rabbi Zera's kasha. Because remember again, Rabbi Zera said, "Well, if the animal is retroactively conveyed to the shomer, why doesn't the shomer also acquire the shearings and the offspring?" So we'll say it's only in the first version of Rava that's a kasha. In the second version of Rava, the shomer only gets ownership over the animal when? A second before the theft. So, of course, he has no entitlement to the shearings or to the offspring. That's nafkamina number one. Inami tekaima ba'agav. Oh, boss, it's also very interesting. Let's say at the time that the animal was stolen, the animal was, agam was literally a swamp. The idea is, let's say the animal was not in the possession of the shomer at the moment that it was stolen. See, boss, if the animal was not in the possession of the shomer the moment it was stolen, then the shomer has no way of actively acquiring it 1 minute before the theft. Masha'inkein, if the ownership of the animal is retroactively conveyed to the shomer from the moment it was given into the shomer's hands, then even if the animal was not in the possession of the shomer the moment before it was stolen, nevertheless, the mice, the shomer is able to retroactively acquire it. So we'll say these are the two different lashonos, ultimately, again, of Rava. Shilem, below Ratzali Shava. So we'll say, so remember again, so the Mishnah said that in the event that the Shomer chooses not to swear, but instead chooses to pay for the principal of the item, right? So the halacha is that ultimately the Shomer becomes entitled to the future, potential future kefel and out of the chamisha. We'll say a very important halacha. Lo shilem shilem mamish. We'll say, Chibra Abba says, it doesn't have to be that the shomer literally paid, but rather what? Elakevan shomer hareini mishalim, afa pishaloshilim. We'll say once the shomer makes the verbal commitment that he is going to pay, then what? It's as if he paid and he becomes entitled to the kefal. We'll say, let me just tell you where this is coming up. Where this is coming up is the following. So let's play this out. I'm the shomer. I'm watching the animal for Reuven. Reuven deposits the animal with me. The animal gets stolen. I don't want to take a Shavua. So instead I go ahead, I say, Reuven, the animal is worth $1,000, I'm going to pay you $1,000, okay? I'm going to pay you. I hereby commit myself to pay you. What happens? An hour later, they find the ganav. There's kefil. What is Reuven going to say? Right? Listen, you didn't pay me yet, so therefore, again, I'm entitled to the kefil. So comes along Rabbi Chibra Abba and Rabbi Yochanan and says, no, once the shomer makes the verbal commitment to pay, so again, at that moment, and the owner accepts that commitment to pay, kefil rights transfer over to the shomer, even before any money actually changes hands. So Tznan, so both say, so the Gemara says the following. So let's analyze this. Tinan, shilim below ratzali shava. But yet that's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says, the lavshon of the Mishnah was, that if the shomer decides to pay and didn't want to swear, so what can we infer from this? Shilem in, lo shilem lo. We'll say, what I infer from this is what? What does shilem mean? You paid, right? So I could infer from this that lemaisa what? That it's only if the shomer paid does he have the rights ultimately again to the kefel. Ema sefiya, look at the end of the Mishnah. Nishpa v'lo ratza l'shalim. The end of the Mishnah said that if the shomer swore and did not want to pay, taima d'lo ratza. So you can infer from that, that's what? It's because the shomer didn't want to pay. Ha ratza afa pi shalo shilim. What can you infer from the Sefer Rabbi Osai? That if there was a ratzon to pay, meaning if he expressed the desire to pay, a willingness to pay, even if he did not yet pay, that gives him rights over the kefal and the arba v'chamisha. To which the Gemara says, you're right. Ela meha lek lemashina. In reality, you can't learn anything out from the Mishnah. Meaning, I can't bring a raya over here to the Mishnah. Oh, but I'll tell you where you can. Tanya Gavasi de Rabbi Yochanan. So we'll say, just so we're clear, this is, so the Bryce, we have a Bryce that supports Rabbi Yochanan. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan's Shita is, once the Shomer commits to paying, again, I'm not going to use the Lashon is of, it's as if he paid, because it's not, he still has to pay, but once he's committed to paying, he acquires rights over the Kefel and the Arba V'chamisha, even though he has not yet paid. That is the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. So everybody starts to part of Rabbi Yochanan. Hasocher part mechavero v'nigneva. If you go ahead and you rent a cow from your friend, and the cow was stolen, va'amar halah harin mishalim ve'ini nishba. And the socher says, the renter says, I'm going to pay, and I'm not going to go ahead and swear. V'yachar kach nimtza haganov. And then afterwards they find the ganav. So we'll say, see, here's a case where again, the socher has not yet paid, but has already expressed a verbal commitment to pay. And then they find the ganav. Mishalim tashlumi kefal socher. The socher gets the kefal. So we'll say an explicit price that supports this idea. That once there is a verbal commitment to pay, ultimately again, the shomer, socher, whoever it is going to acquire the future rights over the kefal or the arba v'chamisha. Amara papa. So we'll say, just you should know, this is halacha l'maisa. This is how we paskin. That once the shomer commits himself to paying, meaning once he says, I'm not swearing, instead I'm going to pay, he acquires future rights, he acquires the rights in that moment to the kefal or to the arba v'chamisha. Obviously, if he doesn't pay at some point in time, you know, the owner of the animal has recourse, but that's the halacha. Amar Rav Papa, shomer chinam, kevan shomer pashati, Makne le kefela. Now, we'll say, now, building on this, we're going to come to another couple of cases. This is incredible cases. Hashem Rechinim. We'll say, remember, Hashem Rechinim is an unpaid custodian. So once he says, Kevan Shamar, now remember, a Shomer Chinam has the least amount of liability, right? So for example, if an animal is stolen from a Shomer Chinam, lost from a Shomer Chinam, unavoidable circumstance, he's potter from all those cases. There's only one case where a Shomer Chinam is chayiv, and that's where? Pashati, negligence. If he says, I'm poshe, I was just negligent with the animal, he's chayiv. So watch this. Shomer Chinam, so we'll say, once a Shomer Chinam says, Pashati, I was negligent, Makni lek fela. So we'll say, once a Shomer Chinam says, I was negligent, right? Which means, again, that he's taking full responsibility for the animal. If it turns out that what? If it turns out that the animal was stolen or something else happened, meaning he could say that he was negligent, meaning I didn't close the door in front of the animal, and the animal was stolen. So that's an admission of negligence. Once he admits negligence, and therefore again becomes chayav for the animal, he also acquires the rights for the kefel. So the Gemara says, why is that? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, makna lekfela. Actually, no, not yet. Sorry. So the Gemara says, Amar Papa, so Shomachinim Shomar Pashati, Makna Lekfela. Why? Di'i boi pater nafshe b'gneva. Both say because the Shomer Chinam could have exempted himself with a claim of what? A claim of gneva. He could have gone ahead and exempted himself by saying the animal was stolen. And remember again, a Shomer Chinam is pater, ultimately again, for gneva. When he says pashati, we believe him. But ultimately, again, he acquires the rights over the future kefel. So the Gemara says, Shomer Sachar, similarly again, if you have a paid custodian, so kevan sha'amar nigneva, Makne Lake Fela. So we'll say same idea. If a Shomer Sachar says that the animal was stolen, so he also will say, so remember, saying that it was stolen is essentially, what is Rav Papa saying? Rav Papa saying that when these Shomerim make these claims, it's the equivalent of saying what? Equivalent of saying what? I'm going to pay you and not swear. That's pretty much what it's the equivalent of. So when they say, when they make these claims that ultimately go ahead and make them liable, it's as if they've said, I'm going to pay to you and not swear. Because remember what I said, a Shomer Sachar could have said that the animal died. And a Shomer Sachar is Pater when he claims that the animal died. Shoel, Shomer Harini Mishalim, Lo Makne Lekfila. But we'll say a Shoel, who is a borrower, if he says, I'm going to pay you, right? I'm going to pay you because something happened to the animal, he doesn't get the kefel. Why, Rabbi Hussein? Because a shoel pretty much is chayiv for everything, right? Because a shoel has pretty much unrestricted use of the animal, therefore his liability is highest. So pretty much when a shoel goes ahead and says, I went ahead and, you know, I'm chayiv for the animal, we say shkoyach, but he does not get the kefel. Why? Because Rabbi Hussein, a shoel really has no way to exempt himself from liability. Well, what could he say? The only exemption that a shoel has is in a case of mesa machmas malacha, where the animal dies while it was performing its own specific labor. And to which the Gemara says, mesa machmas malacha lo shkiach. An animal dying of its labor is not a common occurrence. There's another version of this exchange. Igida Amri, Amara Papa, Shoel Nami, Kevan Shama Hareni Mishalim, Makni Lekfela. We're saying this version is just the opposite. According to Rav Papa says that when a Shoel says, I'm going to pay because the animal is dead, so he gets the Kefa. Why? Because if he wanted to, he could have exempted himself with a claim that the animal died as a result of labor. So we'll say, what is Rav Papa introducing over here? What Rav Papa is introducing is the following. Up until now, we've been focused on a very specific case of Shomer. Very specific case of Shomer. Rav Papa is essentially just saying that whenever the person watching the animal essentially obligates himself in liability for the principal, by definition, he acquires the potential rights to the kefel or to the arba v'chamish. That's all. Rav Papa is just expanding just the scope, ultimately, again, of the Mishnah's ruling. Keeping in mind that we do paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, that once the particular shomer in question makes a verbal commitment to pay, by definition, that entitles him to rights over kefel. So the Gemara says the following, Amar Rav Zivid. I'm really Rav Zivid. Hachi Amar Abayi. So Rav Zivid said, this is what Abayi taught. Shoel ach yishalim. So we'll say, listen to this. So ultimately, watch this. So Abayi said, even though Rabbi Yochanan said before that what? That under normal circumstances, once the Shomer makes the verbal commitment to pay, then what? He's entitled to kefil, right? Sabai says, here's the exception to that rule, shoel. A shoel does not get the rights to kefil, to arba v'chamisha, until he actually pays. My time, what's the reason? Hoil v'chol hanoa shelo, because it will say, since a shoel gets full benefits from the animal, b'dibura lo makni lekfela. The owner of the animal does not convey to him kefil rights until what? Until he actually pays. So both said, the idea over here that Abai is adding in is because a shoel, out of all the different shomrim, because although a shoel is not really a shomer, but technically a shomer, because a shoel has the most unrestricted use of the animal, therefore, again, the owner only conveys to him future rights for kefil after the shoel himself has actively paid. But if he has not yet paid the principal, he does not get the kefil. Tanya kavasi di Rav Zvid. We have a brisa that supports Rav Zvid. Hashoel para mechaveiro. If somebody goes ahead and borrows a cow from his friend, benignava, and ultimately it was stolen, v'kidim hashoel b'shilein, and the shoel comes along and pays the principal, the achakak nimtzah ganov, and then they find the ganov. So mishalim tashlume kefel shoel. So we'll say they go ahead and what? They go ahead and they pay the double payment of kefel to the shoel. So we'll say, what do you see over here? You see over here that tafka, when does the shoel get the kefel? When? Shilim. When he paid. The lishna kamadira papa vaday lo habit yufto. So we'll say, according to the first lashon of Rav Papa, right, this statement is not a refutation. Look at Rashi for just a moment. So says the Gemara. He says the name Kavan the time of the Rapap Mishum the Lahabi Lemifter Nafshe the Mesa Machmas Malach Lo Shchiach. So we'll say in this case over here. So remember, the first version of Rapapa is that a Shoah really has no way to exempt himself because a claim of Mesa Machmas Malach is not a common one. So according to the first version of Rapapa, this is not a refutation. But according to Lishna Basra. According to the second Lashon, where according to the Ikid Amri of Rav Papa, that a Shoel does have a claim in which he could exempt himself, namely Mesa Machmas Malacha. Therefore, again, even just a verbal commitment to pay should be enough. Why does the rights he actually has to pay? Rav Papa, Mi Alima Mimas Nisin. Why should the Shoel case be any stronger than the Mishnah? And remember, again, according to Rav Papa will say, Diktani Shileim Va'okimna Ba'amar. So we'll say, so ultimately, again, it should be no stronger than the Mishnah, because the Mishnah ultimately said Shilim, but yet we interpreted the Mishnah Shilim as saying what? A verbal commitment to pay. Hachanami ba'amar. So too again, even in this Braisa, even though the Braisa makes it sound like the Shoel is paying, it really means what? Kideim ha-shoel v'shilim. Shilim doesn't mean actually paid. Rather, what does Shilim mean? A verbal commitment to pay. Hachanami ba'amar. Midami. How can you compare the cases? Hasam lo katoni kideim. So we'll say, in the Mishnah, it did not say the Lashon of kideim. Hacha katoni kideim. Here it says kideim. My kideim. What does the kideim mean? Kideim va'amar. So we'll say, maybe kideim just means is he proactively, verbally committed himself to pay. So the Gemara says, one second, it doesn't make sense. Hamidik tani gabi socher va'amar. So since it said by a socher, the lashna va'amar, and he said, the gabi shoel kideim, and it said by shoel kideim, shmamina dafka katoni. Ultimately, again, we have to say that the kideim by shoel must mean what Rabbi Osai? Must mean not just simply a verbal statement, but rather an active payment. So the Gemara says, midei gabi hadadi tanyo. So the Gemara asks the following. Were all of these brisos taught together. So we'll say, remember, what the Gemara was just doing, the Gemara was contrasting the brisa ultimately, again, of Shoel with the brisa of Socher. But were the two brisos actually taught together that you could contrast them? So listen to this. Shailinhu litanoi debe Rabbi Chiya u debe Rabbi Yoshia. So we'll say, so they asked, this is amazing. Really. See, what's amazing about this statement is you're actually getting like a window into the formulation of the Gemaras. Like, so remember, again, we're seeing these brisos gone ahead and talked about within rapid succession of each other. They asked, but when these brisos were formulated, were they actually formulated together, in which case the shayla is a valid shayla, the kasha is a good kasha, or were they formulated separately? So they asked the Tana of the Yeshiva Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yoshia, Va'amri Gabi Hadadi Tanyon. Yeah, Inachinami, they were brought together, and therefore again, the Gemara's contrasting of them was an appropriate contrast. So Pshita. So it was like, goes without saying, Pshita, Amar Eini Mishalim, V'chazer V'amar Hareini Mishalim. So we'll say, so first of all, so you know what we have over here. So far, so what we have over here is, number one, we've passed in like Rabbi Yochanan, that once the Shomer makes a verbal declaration to go ahead and pay, by definition he acquires the rights, ultimately again, to the future Kefel and Arba V'chamisha, with one exception, Halacha L'maaseh. What's the one exception? Shoel. That the halacha by Shoel is that because the Shoel has such, you know, unlimited usage, he only acquires the kefal when he actively pays. Shoel will be the exception. We've also now demonstrated how this halacha of Rabbi Yochanan really applies to all the different shomrim in different ways. Fine, that's what we have so far. So says the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Pshita, Amar, watch this case, amazing. Amar Eini Mishalim, listen to this. Pshita Amar Eini Mishalim because of Amar Eini Mishalim. Okay? So let's say the Shomer says, animal, right? I'm the Shomer. Reuven comes to get his animal. I say, I'm sorry, it was stolen. And I say, Eini Mishalim, I'm not paying. And I'll take a Shua. And then I say, no, I changed my mind. Amar Eini Mishalim, I'm going to go ahead and pay. I choose not to take Shua, I'm going to pay. So what's the halacha? Amar Eini Mishalim. So we'll say, we listen to his last statement, and therefore we go ahead and we assume that his real intention is to pay and not to swear. Okay? So the Gemara says, Ella, Amar Hareini Mishalim, but listen to this case. Let's say I say at first, I'm going to pay, I'm not going to swear. I'm a base. V'chazer v'amar eini mishalim. And then Rabbi will say, I say, I'm not paying. So my, how do we view this second statement? Watch this. Mi aminon, mehader kahader be. So let's say on one end we could say, I'm recanting, right? I changed my mind. I'm going to take the shavu. I'm not going to pay. So that's one possibility. Odilma b'mil sekoi. The other possibility is what? No, I'm not changing my mind. Right? My intention is still to pay. One second. How can you say my intention is still to pay? I just said what? I just said I'm not paying. Right? V'dachuye hu dekamadchile. Oh, let's say it's interesting how things happen. So what happened? 30 seconds ago I said I'm paying. And then I say what? I'm not paying. But I don't really mean I'm not paying, right? I mean I'm paying, but what? Not now. Not now. Meaning I'm pushing, because again, I realized that what happened, after I said to Reuven the owner, I'm going to pay, Reuven says, cash or credit. Right? What is that going to be? And I say, whoa. I said I was going to pay. I didn't mean now. So instead what I do is I will say, by the way, you see this psychology throughout the Gemara whenever it comes to debtors, that sometimes, for whatever the reason, people would rather go ahead and say, I'm not paying, than ask for more time to pay off their debt, whatever that psychology is. So therefore, the Gemara says, when I go ahead and I at first say I'm going to pay, and then I change my mind and I say I'm not going to pay, how do we interpret that new statement? Do we say that at the end of the day, I'm recanting, and no, now I'm really going to think true, I'm not going to pay, or no, I'm going to pay, but when I say I'm not going to pay, or what I'm really just doing is kicking the can down the road, I need a little bit more time for payment. Amar, similarly, we'll say another kasha. Amar Hareini Mishalim, listen to this case. Amar Hareini Mishalim, if I was to say, I'm the Shomer, and the animal was stolen, and I say, you know what, I'm going to pay, I'm not going to take a Shavua. Umeis. And what happens? The Shomer dies. V'amru banav ein anu mishalmin. And the heirs of the Shomer say, we're not paying. Right? That was our father who committed himself to that. We're not paying this. My. So what is that halacha? Mi aminad mahadir kamahajibu. So we'll say, do we say that the children are recanting, right, are retracting on the obligation to pay of the father? O dilma b'milsa davuon kaimi b'dachuyehu dekamatchulei. Or maybe no, the children still intend on paying, but what? Same idea as before. They're buying themselves more time. They're going to pay because, again, I both said, you know, we've seen the sugya of what exactly, of when children are obligated to pay the debts of the father is not like a pasha thing. In most cases, children are not necessarily obligated to pay off the debts of a father, but there's a certain concept. First of all, it's a benefit to the neshem of the deceased. It's very important to so. It's brought down that to go into the next world with all of your chobos paid off. This is for the mace I'm talking about. To go into with all of your chobos paid off is an incredible benefit for the neshama. Plus, there are certain times where the estate is obligated. So when the heirs of the shomer say, we are not going to pay, how do we view that? Are they saying, that was our father's obligation, not ours? Or are they saying, no, we're going to pay, we just need more time? Another case. Shalmu banim mai. So we'll say, watch this. Let's say again, let's say in the event that the shomer died, and his children want to pay off his debt. So they pay off the debt. Then what happens? They find the ganav. Now there's kefil at play over here. So shalmu banim mai. Matsi amr lehu. So can the owner of the animal say, kiaknoi kefela la'avuchun? When I was willing to give over the future rights to the kefel, that was to your father, speaking to the heirs of the shomer. That was to the children of the shomer. That was to your father. Because I had a relationship with your father, and he gave me incredible menuchas hanefesh, knowing that he was going to take care of the principal. But you, I don't know you people. I never conveyed any future rights of kefel to you. Or perhaps the Gnabose makes no difference, and the children should be entitled to the kefel as well. Next kasha. Shilim labanim mai. Let's say in this case, the shomer is alive. The owner of the animal died. And now the shomer pays the heirs of the owner. Shilim labanim mai. Matsu amrile ki akni lecha avu. Matsu amrile ki akni lecha avuna kfela. So we'll say, could the children of the owner say, listen, when our father conveyed over to you the kefel rights, that was because you did something, you gave our father menuchas hanefesh. In other words, our father gave you over those rights because you had a relationship with him. Anan lididan. But what have you done for us? In other words, we have no relationship with you, right? We have nothing to do with you. And as such, again, we're not willing to yield or to cede the rights of the kefil to you. Oh, Dilma, Loshnar, perhaps no. Meaning once the father conveyed over the rights of the kefil, so even though the father, the owner of the animal, is now dead, that right to the kefil still transfers over to the shomer. So the Gemara's next case, Shilmu banim labanim mai. We'll say, listen to this case. Owner and shomer both died. Right? Owner and shomer both died. And now what happens? The children of the shomer pay the value of the principal over to the children of the owner of the animal. What's the halacha? So we'll say, or next case, shilim mechtzamai. Oh, this is an interesting case. Let's say, now this shilim mechtza could be in a case where Baruch Hashem, everybody is still alive. But the case over here is, let's say you paid half of the principal, Shomer paid half of the principal, and then they found the Ganav. Does that half principal payment entitle the Ganav to half of the kefel or not? Similarly, Sha'al Shtei Paros v'shilim achas mi'an mai. So we'll say, what happens if, let's say again, I borrowed two cows, both were stolen, and what happened? I only paid for one of them. What is the halacha in that case? Next, Sha'al min ha-shutfin. Let's say I borrowed from two partners, right? I borrowed one cow that belonged to two people. V'shilim le'echad mehen. And I paid off one of the partners, but not the other. My shutfin sheshalu. We'll say, what happens if partners borrowed? Partners borrowed, right? V'shilim echad mehen. And only one of them paid off, ultimately, again, his part of the principal. So sha'al min ha-isha. Let's say you borrowed an object from a woman, v'shilem labayla mai. But instead of paying back the woman, Rabbi say, what did you do? You paid back the husband. So Rabbi say, this would be a case of ultimately, again, where you went ahead and you borrowed malug property of a woman, which is her property. Husband enjoys the peros. So you didn't pay back the woman, you paid back her husband. So Rabbi say, what's the halach on all of these cases? Teiku. So again, that whole list of questions over here, both sides. So ultimately, again, now obviously, whenever you have a teiku in Dinei Mamonos, so we'll always rule the Chumrah, right? We will always rule stringently in all of these cases. So we'll say that these are all teiku cases. So again, obviously, the Rambam codifies all of these cases, halacha lemaisa, but deals with it again in a machmir situation. Am Rav Huna. So we'll say Rav Huna went ahead and raised the following question. Mashpin oso shvua sheina bershusa. So we'll say Rav Huna introduces us now to a brand new concept. So Rav Huna says, look at Rashi. Mashpin oso. Rashi says, amas nisin koi afa pishu mshalim kidiktani shilim below ratzali shava. Mashpin oso shvua sheina bershusa. We'll say, now listen to this. So he comes along Rav Huna and says something quite dramatic. So even though the Mishnah said that when the shomer decides to pay, when the shomer decides to pay, so he pays and he is pater from a shvua. Rav Huna says there is still another shvua that we administer upon him. What's that shvua? That shvua is she'ino b'shuso, a shvua that he does not have the object in his possession. Meaning, so as much as the shomer said, I don't want to swear that the animal was stolen, instead I choose just to pay. We say that's fine, but comes on Rav Huna, it says there is a shvua he does have to take. And that's a shvua that what? That the animal is not in his rishus. Not in his rishus. My taima, what's the reason for this, Rav Osei? Cheshinon shema inav nasan ba. Because we'll say, what are we concerned about? We're concerned that perhaps he has his eyes on the object. In other words, we'll say, if you think about it, this is the kind of case where it's very easy for the shomer to be mora heter. Let's play this out. I'm a shomer. I have a cow, right? I'm watching a cow for Reuven. And what happens? We've grown really close over the last couple of months. I really like this cow. And so I say to myself, you know what? I know Reuven's not going in a healthy way. I know that Reuven's not going to sell. He doesn't want to sell. So what do I figure to myself? You know what? Very easy. I'm going to claim it was stolen. I take a shvua. No, I don't want to take a shvua. I'm going to pay. I'm going to say, how do I justify this to myself? I'm not causing Reuven a loss. Why? But I'm paying for it. And I'm going to say, you can see how a person can very easily be mora heter in a case like this. Therefore, Rav Huna says, in order to ensure that Reuven, that I, the shomer, really does not have the animal in my possession, we make him take a shvua that the animal is not in his possession. So he doesn't want to swear about the fact the animal was stolen. That's fine. You can exempt yourself from an oath ultimately by paying. But every single shomer who claims that the animal is not in his possession must actively swear to that truth. You don't have to swear about what happened to the animal. You just have to swear about the animal is not in your possession.
Could you go to his friend and take it back after the...
Yeah, exactly.
So look, the cloud gadol is, and we always say this, if you want to cheat the system, you could always cheat. Remember, at some point in time, if somebody is bent on cheating and taking advantage of the system, absolutely. So he's saying, good, you could get around the shvua also. Right before I go to Beis Din, I drop off the cow at the cow sitter, right? And I go ahead and I take the shvua. So I swore falsely. I swore truthfully at the time that I swore the cow was not in my rishus, and then I go back and pick it up. In Akinami, you could do that. You could do that. But again, the halach is made for normative cases. So we'll say, this is very dramatic. So even though the Mishnah said that when I say I want to pay, so I pay and I don't have to take a shvua, that's not totally true. You don't have to take a shvua that the animal was lost or stolen, but you do have to take a shvua that the animal is not in your rishus. Meisveis, Gemara is the kansha. So we'll say, now the Gemara is going to introduce a series of very interesting cases. Hamalva es chavera ala mashkon. Listen to this case. I lend someone money. I'm the lender, and we'll call Reuven the borrower. And Reuven gives me collateral. He gives me a mashkon. Samalva es chavera ala mashkon va'avad hamashkon. And I, the lender, who obviously is holding on to the collateral, I lose the collateral. Va'amar lo sela hilvisicha alav shekel haya shava. So I say, so what happens? So I, the lender, I say, listen, I lent you a sela, but the mashkon was only worth a shekel. I'll say a shekel is half a sela. So essentially what I say is like this. I, the lender, I lost the mashkon. So obviously, I'm responsible for the value of the mashkon. So I say, look, let's take off the value of the mashkon from the debt. Essentially, the mashkon was worth 50% of the debt. You only owe me the other half a sela. And what happens? Now the love, the borrower counters and says, Valove Omer, lo, ki ela selehil visani alav, selahaya shava. It's not true. So the borrower says it's not true. The mashkon was worth an actual sela. So we'll say, so what is the halacha in that case? Potter. The halacha is that it sounds like over here, though we'll challenge this, that the love doesn't have to take a shvua. Look at Rashi, Potter, halove min hashvua. So the borrower doesn't have to take a shvua. She'en kan hodaba mixas. See, the bosai, the idea over here is this is a modu mixas case. What we're seeing over, this is not a modu mixas case. The love is not partially admitting anything. The love is saying, listen, you lent me a sela. The mashkon was worth a sela. I owe you nothing. So we'll say, now remember, what the lova has going for him in this case is what? That very often, it's the derech haolam, that the mashkon is usually worth what? Right? the same or at least similar, right, sometimes even more than the value of the debt itself. So again, in this case over here, where the lova says, listen, you lent me a sela, the mashkon was worth a sela, the lova does not have to take a shavua. Next case. Sela hilvi sicha lov, shekel haya shava. So we'll say, the lend, same case, right? I lend money to Reuven, I lend him a sela, he gives me a mashkon, I, the lender, lost the mashkon. And I say to Reuven, listen, I lent you a sela, and the mashkon you gave me was worth a shekel. Remember, a shekel is half a sela. So in other words, well, consider as if 50% of the debt is paid, you owe me the other 50%. V'hala omer, the lenders, the borrower says, no, ki ala sela hil visani, alof shlosha dinarim, haya shava. So the lova says, no, it's true, you lent me a sela, but the mashkon was not worth a shekel, like you say, rather what? It was worth 3 dinarim, which is worth more than a shekel. So both say, in this case over here, the lova is admitting that what? That he still owes part of the debt. Meaning he is admitting the fact that the mashkon did not cover the entirety of the debt. Therefore, this is essentially viewed as a moda b'miktas. He admits ultimately again that he still owes part of the debt. And therefore again, therefore, we'll say the lova will be chayiv to take a shvua ultimately again as to the value of the mashkon and by extension, how much of the debt is still owed. Next case. Sela hilvi sani, I love. Beis hayashava. Let's listen to this case. And, right? So the lender, right? The lender ultimately says, I lent you a sela, and what? The mashkon was worth beis, v'halo omer, and the borrower says, lo, ki ela sela hil visicha. I'm sorry, both said this is the opposite case. I'm sorry. Sela hil visani, I love beis hayashava. Both said this is the case, same idea, where the lender loses the mashkon. In this case, the borrower claims that the mashkon I gave you, right? I'm sorry, let me clarify this. More money. I lend Reuven a sela. Right? I lose the mashkon. Reuven the borrower claims, you lent me a sela, but by the way, that mashkon was worth 2 sloth. So now, not only do I not owe you anything, but what? You owe me an additional sela. V'halo omer. And the borrower, I the lender say, lo, ki la sela hil visicha lav, sela hayashava. And I say, not true, I lent you a sela, and what? The mashkon is worth a sela as well. Potter. Ultimately, it sounds like over here, I, the lender, am potter from going ahead and taking a shvua, because again, there's no motive amidst us. On the other hand, Sela Hilvi Sani Alav Shnayim Hayashava. Bosei, again, if the borrower says to the lender, you lent me a Sela, but the mashkon was worth 2. V'hala Omer, and I, the lender, say no, ki ela Sela Hilvi Sicha. I love hey dinarim hayashava. I say it was worth hey dinarim. So we'll say again, which is more than the value of the sela. So I'm admitting that what? This is a mode of a mixas essentially. It's a partial admission to the claim of the lova. Chayiv. Then I'll say ultimately again, I'm going to be chayiv v'shvua. So the Gemara says, mi nishba. The Brisa says, who's swearing in these cases? To which the Gemara answers, mi shapi kadon etzlo. Ultimately, again, who's swearing about saying? The one who has the pikadon in his possession, which sounds like the lender. Why? Shema yishav ezeh, because I will say out of concern that if the lova goes ahead and swears, the yotzi haloa sapikadon. Because we'll say if we make the borrower swear, if we make the lova swear, and the lender in fact has the pikadon in his possession, that he may go ahead and what? Pull it out of his possession, and thereby discredit the lova. So he says, well, let's make sense of this. Ahia, which case is this going on? Rashi says, Ahia, koi, mi nishba diktaniba. We'll say, when we say, who is swearing? Mi shapikadon etzlo. What case is that going on? So the Gemara says, ilema asefa, if you want to say that it's going on the sefa, the sefa klei, the shvua gabi malvehi. So we'll say, in the sefa case, it's going to be the malva, right? Because we'll say the seifa case is where the borrower is claiming that the pikadon is worth more than the value of the debt. We'll say in that case it is the malva who's swearing to hakamodi miktsas hataino. Because we'll say in that case it is the malva who's being modi miktsas. Ela Amar Shmuel Areisha. Rather, Shmuel says it's going on the Reisha. My Areisha, what does that mean in the Reisha? Aseifa de Reisha. The second case in the first part of the Breisa, which case of Osai, Selehil Visicha Alav, that ultimately, again, Shekel Haya Shava. Bosai, that's the case where the lender says, I lent you a sela, and the mashkon was only worth a shekel, which is half a sela. In other words, the mashkon was worth half of the debt. V'halo omer, and in that case, the borrower says, lo, kila sela hil visani alav, shlosha dinarin hayashava. And Rav Osai, that's where the borrower says, you lent me a sela, but the mashkon was worth what? 3 dinarim. A modem miktsas case. The shvua gabi lovehu. We'll say that case is where what? That's where the loveh, the borrower is going to have to take a shvua because it's a modem miktsas. And what happens? The omer rabbanon lishtave malve. And yet the rabbanon said that what? The malve has to take a shvua. Shema yishave zeh v'yotzia lo asapikadon. That ultimately, again, lest the lender go ahead and take out the mashkon, lest the lender take out the mashkon, and ultimately discredit the loveh's claim. Look at Rashi. Rashi, l'shtava malva, shalo haisa shava shekel, el shekel, v'yitol shekel, t'cheivan d'ika shvala loveh min ha-Torah, i'yata yachol l'potro b'lo klum, u'mishom tikun olam shalo yipasel yisrael shaklua l'shvua mineh v'shajua malva. So Bosa, you see over here that what's happening over here, even though technically speaking, the shvua should be ultimately on the Lova, because he's a motive and makes us, we transfer the Shvua onto the Malva, lest he go ahead and have a case where the Lova takes the Shvua and the Malva says, oh, I'm showing you that you're wrong because here is the Mashkon right here. Now, Bosai, we're going to stop over here a little bit like mid-discussion, but just to reorient ourselves a little bit to where we are. Rav Huna came along, just so we get this whole picture, Rav Huna came along and said that even though the Mishnah made it sound like what? That when you go ahead and you're, if I'm the Shomer, and I say, you know what, the item was stolen, but I'm choosing not to take a Shavua, instead I'm going to pay. So it makes it sound like what? There's no Shavua. Comes along Rav Huna and says, there is a Shavua. It's just a different kind of Shavua. What's the Shavua? The Shavua that the Malva has to take, the Shavua that the Shomer has to take is the Shavua that says what? Is the Shavua that says the object is not in my possession. Because what we're really concerned about over here is that he could go ahead and very, very easily mora heter. He could justify his actions claiming that it was stolen. I'm not going to take a Shavua, I'm going to pay for it because in reality I'm buying it. Therefore we make him take a Shavua that says the object is not in your possession. Rabosai, the Gemara now raises a kasha on this. Now, this entire discussion from the Meisvei until the bottom of the page, as we're going to see, is going to be a kasha on Rav Huna. We're going to stop over here because we did the cases. Tomorrow morning, Emir Tisham will formulate the kasha, because we haven't yet formulated the kasha. The kasha will be formulated on Rav Huna, Emir Tisham, beginning on top of Lamed Hayamud Dalet. Rabosai, tomorrow morning, we resume a normal schedule. We're going to begin 5:45 with Shari Tshuva. We're going to finish up Shari Tshuva. We started it. We're going to finish it. We started, it's only Monday. Remember, Tuesday, Wednesday is going to be a different, is Rosh Chodesh. So we start a little bit later on Rosh Chodesh. So Daf will be at 5:45, but then Emiratishim Wednesday going forward will be on a regular schedule. Shkoyach. I'm sorry? Motzi Mechab, which case Motzi Mechab?
All these cases. It's not where the Kaddish is involved. It's not Motzi Mechab. It defaults to Motzi Mechab El Mariah. That's why they
usually... Yes, Eimachinami, except when you're Motzi Mechab. You see, no, that's the dinner mode that mixes. Are they mentioned?